Now we come to a judge that you can't pass over. Actually, he is outstanding. But he had probably the most glorious opportunity that any man ever had. Everything was propitious for a career and a brilliant future for this man, Samson. And he failed. That is the tragedy of this man's life. He was a sinner. There'll be some questions we'll have about him, but in chapter 13 we read now, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. These were the worst enemies that Israel had, were the Philistines. Now God raises up a man by the name of Samson to be the judge. And this is actually the last time we're going to read in the book of Judges that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. We're going to find out that this small civil war that took place in Jephthah's day becomes a pretty big thing later on. And actually, the book of Judges ends in absolute confusion. And we'll see that later on. But now here is, in one sense, the man who is the last of the judges. It's this man, Samson. And this is the seventh apostasy, and the last that's mentioned. They were conquered by the Philistines, but only partially delivered through Samson. Actually, this man was a failure. There are three things about Samson we want to notice as we move through this section. We have the secret of Samson's success given. And we have the secret of Samson's strength given. And then we have the secret of Samson's failure given also. And again, let me repeat, never was a man born with a more glorious opportunity than this man. Now let me read verse 2. "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites." Now, we have been in the southern part, and now we go all the way to the north. You see, the Philistines actually were along the coast, mostly in the southern part, in what we call today the Gaza Strip. They were in that area. But you'll find out that this man Samson, although of the family of Dan, he comes all the way south, and you'll find him moving in that land, "whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not." Now, here is the birth of this boy, Samson. His mother was barren, and actually his birth is as miraculous as Isaac was, just as much so are as Joseph and Benjamin. Now in verse 3, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall be on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, you have here the birth of Samson, and it actually was, I think you could say, miraculous, and he was given a glorious opportunity, and everything was propitious for a career, brilliant future, and before he was born, God had marked him out. God raised him up for a gigantic task, to deliver Israel. And they were in a bad way here. God had delivered them into the hands of the Philistine because of their sin. Now, the angel of the Lord that appeared to the mother of Samson said what he was to be, that he was to be a Nazarite. Now, you'll recall back in the 6th chapter of the book of Numbers, we had the vow of the Nazarite. The vow that he took, and it was a threefold vow. He was not to touch strong drink. Fact of the matter is, he wasn't to have anything in the world to do with grapes. Verse 3, "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of drinks, nor eat moist grapes, nor dried. He's not to even eat grapes. The grape was that fruit that spoke of the joy of the Lord. And we're told today, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And what does the Spirit of God do? Why, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit of God. And it meant that Nazarite was to find his joy in the Lord and not find it in anything down here. He was not to touch strong drink. And the second thing, he was not to cut his hair. And what does that mean? Well, Paul saith in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? A man ought not to have long hair. That's what the scripture says. Now, I'm not going to make anything of that today, but it's a shame for a man. I'm ashamed of a lot of these fellows I see around. And this is a verse I think could be put up in many places in our cities today. But the Nazarites, you see, would be willing to bear shame. And that's the reason a razor's not to touch his head. Then we're told the third thing, he was not to come near a dead body. In other words, there'd be no natural claim on him. He had put God first, and God would come above his relatives and his loved ones. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that except you deny father and mother, and to deny them means not to ignore them. He didn't say that, but he means to put Christ first. And we've lost sight of that today. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. He was God's man, and that was the secret of his success, that he was God's man, and he was raised up for a great purpose. And his success was in God, and only as he performed his God-appointed tasks. But he never succeeded. You notice what it says here in verse 5? He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Now, success knocked at his door. He was a beginner. He only made a beginning of everything. He was a jack of all trades, but he never finished it. He'll begin to deliver Israel. He never finished that task. Now, we got a lot of Christians like that. You remember Paul said to the Galatians, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Started out well. We have a great many people who began to read the Bible. I'm thrilled today at the number of people over this land that are reading through the Bible with us. But I have news for you. There's some that fall by the wayside. They don't go on with it. They just begin. There are a lot of people that are beginners. I know a lot of Christians. I've been a pastor 40 years, friends. I've met Christians, oh, Dr. McGee, I'm beginning to do this. I'm going to do this. They start something, but they never conclude it. They never finish the task that they're called to do. Now, will you notice that this boy is born into the family, and the woman bore this boy, Samson. And you have the interview, and I'll not go into the details here. I'll come down to the birth of Samson in verse 24. And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now that's way up in the north. God began to move him there up in that particular place. Now, this is the secret of Samson's strength. I want you to notice something. This is very important to see that we'll come to next time. Samson's strength was not in his arms, although he killed 1,000 Philistines with those arms. And Samson's strength was not in his back, although he carried the gates of Gaza on his back. And that was a pretty good undertaking. And Samson's strength was not in his hair, although he was weak when that was gone. Samson, you know, has been depicted as a big bruiser with muscles. I want to say something about him, but the thing to note, friends, is something that I think is very important here, and it's this statement concerning him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. He was only strong when the Spirit of God was moving him. And just cutting off his hair is actually not what weakened him. That hair was the badge. He was a Nazarite. And the Spirit of God was not on him when he had his hair cut. Why? Because he had failed in his Nazarite vow. He had not made good. Now, he's always depicted, as we said, as in these advertisements of certain tonics. You have before taken and after taken. Before taken, it's a little dried up weasel. After you take, he's a great big muscled bruiser. Samson, actually, friends, is the biggest sissy in the Bible or out of the Bible, and he was a little dried up milquetoast man. He was not the strong man in the circus. He was the midget in the circus. Actually, his name means little son, S-U-N, little son. Have you ever noticed? He asked, for instance, his parents to get a wife for him. He didn't have nerve enough to go out and ask the girl to marry him. And he had long hair. He was a sissy. And he was a riddle maker. We'll see that as we go along. And he played pranks like a schoolboy. He took off the gates of Gaza, walked off with him. And then he allowed every woman to make a fool of him. He's not a he-man. He's not the strongest man in the Bible. He's the weakest. And he's the picture on the bottle of vitamins or tonic before taken, not after taken. And this fellow was tied to his mama's apron string like a little sissy. For that's what he was. And we're told that the Spirit of the Lord began to move him. And when the Spirit of God began to move him, he was strong. But when the Spirit of God wasn't upon him, he was as weak as water. It's very interesting. You know, the world today is looking for strong things. They wanted to know his strength. And they didn't realize God chooses the weak things. And that's the reason they marveled in that day. They said, how can this little midget, this little scrawny, milquetoast fella, how can he perform those feats? And there was only one explanation. God did it. You know, the world makes a noise. God says, be still and know that I'm God. Man made the horn. God made the silent depths of the forest. And you know, we come through the Christmas season with parades and tinsel and the tawdry and the trees and Santa Claus and all that. Wasn't any of that around at that first Christmas. It was really pretty quiet in Bethlehem when he was born. But Samson was the hero of his day. Why? He looked like he was strong, but he was not.